The reading today is from John, chapter 14, 8 to 21. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do. Because I go to the Father, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." This is the word of the Lord.
I think we've got our children's groups going out now, so Kingdom Kids, off they go, and just say a prayer for them. Dear Heavenly Father, we welcome these children into our house, into your home, Lord, and we just pray that they enjoy every moment that they share in Kingdom Kids, Lord, and whatever they do enriches them today and always, Lord. Love and protect them. Amen. Thank you.
Hello everyone. It's wonderful seeing the children going out. Those of you who know me know that my wife and I used to run the Kingdom Kids. It's still called that, is it? Lovely. Back in the 80s and 90s. And we were here when the hall was built. What I want to do this morning actually is to speak to you. I want to try and convince you of something. I want to convince you that God is doing something really new in the world in the 21st century. This is the way God seems to work. If you look back through church history, there are kind of moves, waves, that when God has really moved the human race on. The human race is like an individual. We are meant to be maturing. We're meant to be growing up into Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. And if we look through the back through history, we realize that is exactly right. I mean, it's not just true in church things, it's true in secular history too. Has anyone got a £2 coin in their pocket? Anyone rich enough to have a £2 coin? I couldn't find one this morning when I was trying to look for one. You got one now, lovely, thank you. Oops, I'm not going to catch it.
Great.
Now, if you look around the edge of the £2 coin, it's got some words written on it, and it says, "On the shoulders of giants, on the shoulders of giants." It's a quotation from Sir Isaac Newton. He He wrote this in a letter to his friend Robert Hooke. And what he was saying is that human history is that we don't start from ground zero. Each generation moves on, standing on, as he says, the shoulders of giants. And God, this is the way God works with human beings. He moves us on. And I want to try and convince you that there is something happening in the church in the 21st century. I'll give you that back before I lose it. In the 21st century, that it's well worth us acknowledging and asking ourselves, do I want to be part of this? So if you think back, say, I'll just talk about two great moves of God that we know about. The first one was the Reformation in the 16th century. Now, we're members of the Church of England. The Church of England is a Reformed church. The Church of England moved away from the Roman Catholic Church in the 16th century, not just because of Henry VIII wanting a divorce. That was just that was kind of the trigger, but it was part of a great move of God, which we call the Reformation, when the Protestant churches started, because people realized there were things that were in the Roman Catholic Church that weren't quite right. That's a negative reason, but there was a very positive reason, in that the reformers, led by Martin Luther, realized when they went to the scriptures that what they were experiencing was actually down there in black and white. It was being revealed to them by God that we are not justified by what we do, but we're justified by our faith in what Jesus has done. That was the great revelation that came to the people in the 16th century. And they went to the scriptures, particularly in the book of Romans, and they said, it's down there in black and white. It's always been there. People have just kind of glossed over it. And that was what was triggered, that great move of God in the 16th century. Now, there's lots of moves of God down through history. The other one that perhaps has affected many of us directly was what happened in the 20th century. Right at the beginning of the 20th century, we have what's called the Pentecostal movement. When people started to realize that the works of the Holy Spirit that they read about in the scriptures actually are for today. People started to experience healings. They started to experience prophecies. They experienced what is particularly written in the book of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And back in the 80s and 90s, I came to faith in this church in 1985. Seems a long time ago. Mainly a result of Norman's men's group. I went there for many years as the stock atheist, didn't I, Norman? But eventually God broke through their patient and persistent work in my life. We were all affected in those years, in the 80s and 90s, by what we call the charismatic movement. The charismatic movement was kind of a second phase of the Pentecostal movement. Basically, people realizing that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world and he can work through us if we're willing to allow him. And many churches right across the world entered into that great move of God in the 20th century. And in a sense, we're still part of that. The Pentecostal and charismatic movement did very much build on what the Reformation had already established, but it went on. God has always got more for us. And the question for each one of us is, do I want to enter into the things that God has for me? Or do I just want to stay where I am? Now, we're now well into the 21st century. And the good question is, what is God doing in the 21st century? We know he's going to be building on what was there in the past. We know it's going to find it in the scriptures if we look for it. And I want to just give you a bit of my experience, because something happened to us in Shrewsbury. I was vicar in Shrewsbury from the year 2000. And it was a church in many ways very much like St. Mary's was back in the 1980s. In fact, it was quite a conservative sort of church. It was a lovely church of really beautiful people. But nothing much happened in this church until the year 2006. So we went there in 2000, and we had to sort some problems out, but everything was fairly straightforward. Until one Friday evening in the year 2006, I'd arranged actually for some talks, some lectures to be given to us by a very distinguished Bible scholar, a man called Dick France. His name's R.T. France. Now, some of you may have his books. Sadly, he died a few years ago. But I believe he was the best Bible teacher in the whole of this country. He was director of studies at the London Bible College, and he was principal of one of the Anglican theological colleges. And he had retired to the Welsh coast, which was about 50 miles from Shrewsbury. And he very graciously said he would come and give us a series of lectures on Friday evenings in the autumn of 2006. So on the first Friday of each month, he travelled on the train all the way across from the Welsh coast to Shrewsbury, which is quite a long journey, and gave us one of these wonderful lectures on, it was actually on Matthew's, the early chapters of Matthew's Gospel. And he was writing this enormous commentary. I've got a copy of it. Honestly, it's that thick. So this was a man. What I'm trying to emphasize is we were actually experiencing, I believe, in many ways, the best that we could possibly give to people. We got the best Bible teacher in the whole country to come and speak to us. So on the first Friday in September, the first Friday in October, the first Friday in November, Dick came and spoke to us. On the first Friday in December, he rang me up some weeks before and said, "I can't make that week. I'm going to have to come the next week." And I said, "Fine," and then promptly forgot completely. So we all turned up on that Friday evening. I'll never forget this. And we started to sing some songs, as we have this morning. And we got to about 8 o'clock, and Dick hadn't turned up. Now, we knew precisely when he turned up because he was getting a particular train. And so I rang him up, and he said, "I'm coming next week." And I said, "Oh, no." So I went back into the church, and I apologized to everyone and said, "I'm ever so sorry. It's my fault. I've got it wrong." So we looked at each other, and my wife, Bozzy, and our worship leader were just leading some songs at that point. So I said, "Well, let's just carry on worshiping, shall we?" Do you know, God came. I'll never forget it. It was the most extraordinary experience. It was a corporate experience. We all suddenly experienced the presence of God in such a strong way on that Friday evening. It was just extraordinary. I think God was saying to us, "Look, you can put on the best. You can do your best for people. You can organize things. You can make things happen. But just leave it to me, and you'll see the difference." And for that, for us, that was the starting point. Everything changed on that Friday evening. We came back on the next Sunday morning, and it was just the same. And we realized we just could not carry on the way we had been working. And what seemed to happen is that God kept speaking to us. I do believe God knows what we're like. He knows that we find it change difficult, that we can't just change overnight. So he kind of, drip feeds the wrong way, he kind of helped us slowly to transform what we were doing and how we were doing things. Now, I'm going to say to you something very important, is that I don't believe in the move of God that we're experiencing. It is something you can copy. We can be very much inspired by each other, but this is all about him being in charge. It's about Christ really being the head of his church. We are his body. He is the head. The head needs to be in charge of the body. And he wants to be in charge directly. We tend to actually do things through our liturgy, through the things that we work out that we're going to do. We kind of put ourselves as church leaders in the way because we think we know what we're doing. But he said to Peter, didn't he, "I will build my church." It's the only time Jesus ever directly spoke about the church. He said those words, "I will build my church." And this move of God, and I believe that we're in the 21st century, is about Jesus, allowing Jesus to really be the head of the church. So we began, in Shrewsbury, began to experience what I can only say is a kind of stream of revelation. He kept speaking to us. And each time he told us something, And he spoke to us in all sorts of different ways through all sorts of people within the church and even outside the church. But each time we were able to do what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. And in fact, what Martin Luther did and what the first Pentecostals did. We went to the scriptures and we found it down there in black and white. The things that God was leading us into, we realized were down there. And they were just things that kind of, the church has just kind of glossed over. We tend to read the Bible sometimes, and there are bits of it we don't really understand. So we just think they're kind of poetry. They're just kind of to make it sound a bit better. But the more you go into, I believe, the things of God, the more you realize the Bible is literal. That when it talks about stuff, it's not speaking in poetic terms. It's helping us to realize the reality of what it is to be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The essence, I believe, of what God is doing in the 21st century, I think Kim alluded to it as you introduced the service, so I'm so grateful to you, is that we know that the Bible tells us that we are in Christ, and it tells us that Christ is in us. Over 100 times the Bible says that Christians are in Christ. Now we tend to read that, we tend to just kind of gloss straight past it as though it wasn't there. That Paul and the other writers of the New Testament are just kind of putting in a bit of extra to make it sound a bit more Christian. But the writers of the New Testament are speaking about the reality of what it means to be a Christian. And it means to live in Jesus. But also in the New Testament, we'll find at least 20 times, it's a bit hard, you can count it different ways, but at least 20 times it says that Christ is in us. There's a lovely phrase in the book of Colossians, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the experience of knowing Jesus living in us directly is what makes the difference. The Bible uses all sorts of human relationships to help us to understand how we should relate to God. We know God as Father, and our parent-child relationship helps us to understand what it means to know God as Father. Jesus talks about the disciples being his friends. We know these relationships from human experience. And perhaps, the deepest relationships that we get into as human beings is the man-woman, the bride-bridegroom, the husband-wife relationship. And of course, the Bible does talk about the church being the bride of Christ. And the writers of the Bible deliberate,